With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Get your popcorn ready.
It's game time, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
a team that is known as Stoppers. Stoppers.
The Athletic presents Hogan Johns.
Every single play, go take it. Bring that juice. Let's go get it. Come on.
Chicago's best Bears coverage.
Go Bears.
Go Bears.
From NBC Sports Chicago, it's Adam Hogue.
The Bears angst in general. Everybody's like angry about it, I feel like. Just relax.
And from The Athletic, it's Adam Johns.
This is just how it is. It's a range of emotions. It's a range of feelings and hot takes.
Here they are.
Fiery, feisty, and frequently ill-tempered.
The Adams, Hogue and Johns.
What's up? Welcome in, Hogue and Johns with you. Second podcast of the week. A fiery week. A lot of social media reaction, quarterbacks, stadiums.
Are you sure you don't want to switch the plan for this podcast 5 minutes beforehand, Adam?
Wow.
Kevin Fishbane, he's in here too, just like, oh my gosh.
See, you know what I learned from our episode on Tuesday? It's just our definitions of realistic are different.
Dak Prescott. Okay.
What you think is unrealistic, I think is forward thinking. I am trying to get the Bears into the, what are we, in the 21st century? Is that what's accurate? While Johns is perfectly content just rolling Ryan Fitzpatrick out there at Soldier Field for the next 30 years. I'm trying to put Deshaun Watson into a brand new state-of-the-art stadium out in Arlington Heights. Johns is just, nope, let's roll it back. Soldier Field.
85 Bears. Here we go. I, too, Adam, would like to cover a team in this Bear City that has a franchise quarterback. I'm not just talking like Jay Cutler like franchise quarterback here for 9 years, but like a damn good one. I would love to cover that. It'd be great. We wouldn't have to write a quarterback series about Kyle Orton, Rex Grossman, Mike Tomczak. Moses Marino. They tracked down Moses Marino. But yeah, it's of course Deshaun Watson would be number one on my list. Of course.
All right. Well, I'm glad we clarified that. Welcome in. You can read all those quarterback stories on The Athletic. TheAthletic.com/HoganJohns is where you should be subscribed. And our friend Kevin Fishbane had a lot to do with all those stories. He had a lot to do with some other stories we're going to discuss today as well. He's on for this entire podcast. Kevin Fishbane, probably the voice of reason between the two of us.
I pick no sides. I think you're both right.
Classic.
Classic Kevin.
I spent my last month talking to, I'm up to like 15 former Bears backup quarterbacks. I don't know. I just have always, maybe as somebody who, if I ever played a sport at a high level, I would have been the backup who everybody likes. And then when I get in the game, they realize why I'm the backup kind of thing. You know, like
who
that would have. Yeah, Johnsy?
Who was your favorite interview? I'm sorry. Of the growing list. Are you done? Is it officially done?
There's a couple more, hopefully a couple more, one more backup-related story coming next week. That's what we call a tease in the broadcast industry.
Oh, and this is a good
gentlemen.
One.
Gentlemen.
Yes, I'm aware of this one. This
There'll be a lot of guys that have already been in the series who will be in that story. Chad Hutchinson was great. I wrote about Chad Hutchinson, Craig Krenzel, and Jonathan Quinn in 2014. For, you know, 10 years looking back, because as you guys know, fun fact, all three of those guys never took a snap again after 2004.
What is the reaction from these guys when you call them up? Are they like, what? Why do you want to talk to me?
Steve Fuller made a joke along the lines of, wow, you're really reaching back to the leather helmet days. To which I told him I actually talked to guys who played in 1968 for this story, too. Wow. A little closer to the leather helmet days.
Which is where Johns wants to live in this franchise. 1968.
No, just 85. Comfortably.
Establish the run.
In 85.
These guys, look, they're all, a lot of them don't mind just talking about their time. Todd Collins was a little confused, I think, as to why I was reaching out to him. I mean, which makes sense because he had the shortest time with the Bears.
Game.
Yeah, of everybody I talked to. But like Chad Hutchinson was like excited. He, that was the other thing. Is if you look through that story that's up now, just kind of life as a backup quarterback, everybody talked about how much they loved being a Bear. And like Chad Hutchinson said, the Bears still send him swag on his birthday every year. Like Chad Hutchinson,
cool, yeah.
He was here for 2.5 months, pretty much.
Moses Marino made one start and he gets an authentic jersey for his birthday. Or every year he gets stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, and Hutchinson's played for the St. Louis Cardinals and Dallas Cowboys. He said the Bears are the classiest organization he's ever played for. Take that, best fans in baseball. But yeah, I thought that was kind of telling. Like Jimmy Clausen was talking about how much he appreciated getting to be a Bear. This is kind of, it doesn't mean a lot in the grand scheme of things, but I thought that was kind of interesting hearing from some of these guys. And it's something certainly the folks at Halas Hall will hang their hat on, because they only have one Lombardi trophy to hang their hat on.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they only had to send like one quarterback birthday stuff their birthdays, like over the like the Packers are just like, all right, they got Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers is still playing for us, so wow, it's just Brett Favre. That's nice.
Since 1993, the Packers have had 6 different starting quarterbacks. The Bears have had 32.
Oh man.
Let me fix my list. All in Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
New stadium, Arlington Heights.
Now we're talking.
Holy Moses.
Nah. Holy Moses Moreno. That's what you meant to say there. All right. Well, all that's on The Athletic. Check it out at KFishbane on Twitter. Kevin's going to be here with us for the entire episode here. There's a lot to get to. So, Kev, what did you make of our quarterback talk on Tuesday, which just took off on social media? It was actually pretty fun.
Well, for one thing, I'm gonna credit producer Kent here, because the clip that was posted was awesome.
Yeah,
that was a great hook, line, and sinker to get everybody in. I liked that people subscribed because of that, or unsubscribed and then resubscribed depending on what side they were on. I'm a little bit more maybe in the Johns camp when we talk about these things, because I can't even get myself in a world to consider the Deshaun Watson. I can't even sit here and like actually think about the Derek Carr thing. I will say this though. I was reading Mel Kiper's mock draft this morning. I don't know if you guys saw that, but he had three trades into the top 10 for quarterbacks. The Falcons traded up, the 49ers, and the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Now, the 49ers and Falcons are the most interesting to me, because I think then that is that scenario that opens up more doors for other guys, right? Like if the Falcons traded up to 2 to take Zach Wilson, does that mean Matt Ryan's available? If the 49ers trade it to the top 10 to take Justin Fields, does that mean Jimmy Garoppolo's available? If you
I would say
Jimmy
in that
Garoppolo.
Case, definitely.
Yes. That kind of got me thinking. And look, I think we all know the Raiders, you can never say never with them in terms of, because Gruden's sitting there falling in love with one of these rookie quarterbacks. That's what gets my wheels turning about thinking about some of these more better than Ryan Fitzpatrick options. But until then, it's just hard for me to really get into that space. Which has me a little bit more on the Ryan Fitzpatrick, Andy Dalton world.
How much do you think John Gruden misses doing his quarterback show?
Do you think that he does it
I miss him doing it.
Like, do you think he asked like Raiders like video staff to come in and film him as he's doing working Mariota, and nobody could watch it except for him?
Yeah,
he goes back and watches. I could see that.
Oh, maybe let's Mayock in for a little bit. Hey, check this out. That'd be hilarious if he operates that way. We can't do it this year, right? They can't have pre-draft visits.
It'd have to be on Zoom.
Yeah, but the last couple of years.
Do you think, I bet Gruden's one of those guys who, like, the Zoom starts and his face is right up next to the camera kind of thing. Not because he's like a boomer, just because he's so excited. His face is right up there.
Yeah. Like some people ask questions to Matt Nagy at the press conference.
When we first started doing that, I was one of those guys.
You don't need to be that close.
I wanted to make sure he heard me.
I will say in the early Zoom days, you don't know how well that microphone works in your laptop, so...
It works.
It works just fine.
All right. Well, there's one quarterback that was not mentioned at all on Tuesday that if we did the same podcast today, we'd probably, I don't know, I'd have him number two on my list. Russell Wilson. Good work by The Athletic. An outstanding story out this morning, which you should read. Very in-depth reporting. It's way too lengthy to go through all right now, but the bottom line is that if you haven't been paying attention in Seattle, a common discussion, like if we were doing a Seahawks podcast over the years, would be about how the Seahawks tend to hold Russell Wilson back, or at least that's a conversation that's always happening. Why does Pete Carroll not let Russell Wilson just air it out with all the talent he has? And I think that there's sort of a conflict in philosophy, the way Pete Carroll believes in winning, which is obviously very established. And I'd say that the Seahawks have one of the most established cultures and programs there is in the NFL right now. So it's hard to really criticize that. But at the beginning of this season, the Seahawks did unleash like an all-out aerial attack, which was very unlike them. And it was very effective. And Russell Wilson was the leading candidate for MVP there, like even in early November. And then the turnover started. They backed off that. The offense was much different the rest of the way. Russell Wilson was much different the rest of the way. And there was some growing frustration there. Just to hit on a couple things in this story. One is that before a Thursday night game against the Cardinals, Wilson met with his coaches. And it says, for some time, Wilson has sought, even pushed for influence within the organization regarding scheme and personnel. In the meeting, he outlined his own ideas for how to fix the offense. His suggestions were dismissed, multiple sources told The Athletic. Another reminder to Wilson that the Seahawks did not see him the same way he saw himself, as a player who had earned greater control over his situation, his future, his legacy. He stormed out of the room. And then it goes on to say, now, if you watch the Super Bowl, you may have seen the shot of Russell Wilson sitting in a suite with Roger Goodell. And I've never seen a more bored, upset player sitting at a Super Bowl in my life. He just did not look happy. And as the story mentions that, and it says, as Tom Brady battled Patrick Mahomes on the field below, Wilson seethed. During the game, he texted Jake Heaps, his former teammate and private quarterback coach, to vent about watching the game instead of playing in it. This all ends with the idea that Russell Wilson would be open to a trade out of Seattle. And another list of teams that do not include the Chicago Bears, of course. But hey, perhaps another option, and one that I'm sure John's has on his unrealistic list.
Dominoes. We're playing dominoes again. First of all, the level of detail in this story by our colleagues, Kevin, is exceptional. So I just want to stress, if you're listening now, read and listen at the same time. It is exceptional. Those four teams, let me pull this up to make sure I have them right, because, yes, as Adam said, the Bears are not included. The Dolphins, the Jets, the Saints, and the Raiders. Thoughts? Like, the Raiders won for the Bears in terms of dominoes because we know they like some Derek Carr. That's a domino worth watching, I would imagine.
If If Russell Wilson's upset with his offensive line play in Seattle, why would he want to come to Chicago?
Yeah.
Well, and that's like a whole nother discussion to this, is that whatever quarterback it is, it doesn't seem like many are very interested in coming to the Bears. And I guess for good reason. I mean, you know, they flip on The Athletic every morning as they're going through their you know, morning routine, and they're going on the Great Athletic app, and Russell Wilson's looking at this and he's saying, ugh. You know, Chad Hutchinson and Moses Moreno.
Counterpoint.
And, I don't want to be part of a story 10 years from now where this is my legacy.
Or is Russell Wilson looking through that list and being like, I could play one game in Chicago and be the greatest quarterback in the history of the franchise. Right?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. Jay Cutler played, what was it, 7 seasons here? I always forget the final number. Kind of blacked out there about season number 5. But, you know, he's probably the best.
Hey, Mitch Trubisky is the highest career passer rating in Bears history. So.
Ugh. Anyway, great reporting, Russell Wilson. Don't know if he'll be traded, but what an offseason this is. You know what, and there's so many different angles to this. One of these angles, to me, is, you know, ties Allen Robinson into the whole thing, too. It just seems like there's a lot of players out there that are trying to seize more control from the teams. Because this is a league that the teams tend to have all the control. And even to this extent that when you start seeing guys franchise tagged, you're seeing more and more of them traded in the end, which I would say is a possibility in the Allen Robinson spot. I don't see any way he's not tagged, because at a minimum, you want to get something back for him. And it's not the most ideal way of getting control, but getting tagged and traded in the same way that Khalil Mack was is more control than they had in the past. It's not as good as free agency, but it's still helpful.
Yeah, this isn't the NBA where players have immense control in their situations. That's a player-controlled league, and I think this is why some fans struggle with the idea of what these players are doing now, because this is foreign to the NFL, right? Like, you look at our Twitter feed, like you get answers like, well, he's getting a lot of money. Why does Russell Wilson, what's he complaining about? He's getting paid $30 million a year. You know, they drafted you to play for your team. But you know what? Situations change. Coaching's change. There's friction in those organizations. Like, can you really blame Deshaun Watson for wanting out of Houston?
No, not when you really.
The place is a mess. Yes.
Yeah, not when you really do the homework.
So I'm all for Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, and even Allen Robinson for taking control of their situations.
And I
do it while you have the leverage.
And Johns, you brought up a great point with the NBA. And, you know, like, take Allen Robinson for example. We all know A-Rob's a huge NBA fan. A lot of these guys are. They see what's going on there, and they want to be able to do the same thing in the NFL. It's hard. I mean, let's look at Trevor Lawrence for example. Right, he's going to sign a 4-year contract. The Jaguars have a 5th-year option. They could use the tag multiple times. I mean, like, technically, Trevor Lawrence is going to be bound to Jacksonville for potentially 6 or 7 years. And like, I know that it's like, well, you know, he's going to be making millions of dollars to be quarterback in the NFL. Like, no, I mean, look, the you know, there should be, these guys should have these opportunities. I think the tag is terrible. I can't stand the franchise tag. I get why the owners love it and the teams love it, but it's brutal. So, you know, like, I'm all for these players kind of taking control a little bit and seeing. And look, I also, on the flip side, I credit the Rams and the Eagles for understanding that, you know what, dead cap, fine. We'll deal with it. We'll move on. You know, look, on a much, much smaller scale, the Bears did that last year with Trey Burton.
Yeah.
Right? That was a dead cap situation. I did not think he was going to get cut, no matter what, because of the way that contract was structured. But they moved on. You know, like, teams should be more willing to figure it out. Like, that's what you're paid to do, is figure out your cap situation and move on from these guys. And if you have a quarterback who's unhappy, you know, like, find a way. Now, on the flip side, if you're the Houston Texans, you do everything in your power to not trade Deshaun Watson, because, you know, you have that leverage and you work to make him happy. You know, work to make him want to be there.
Well, this is just another potential guy available. It's just going to be really interesting to watch all this stuff unfold. It's still only February 25th, but I will repeat what I've said before, that there's a lot at stake here for Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. And that's why I tend to side towards the idea that I could see a bold move, a more unexpected, more unrealistic, I guess, move made, because I just don't think they can afford not to at some point. Now, some of it's out of their control. Who's available? Who's, like, if Russell Wilson's available, but he doesn't want to come to Chicago, well, you know.
Well, that's where you have to play dominoes. That's where. But
this gets into a separate conversation, though. If this whole offseason goes by, and I don't want to jump the gun, but I'm just saying this is part of what's at stake. Let's say there is a ton of quarterback movement, okay? And you get out of the offseason, you didn't get any of these guys. You didn't get any of the top four quarterbacks in the draft. Maybe you got Mac Jones, okay? And Allen Robinson's still holding out, and you might have to trade him. That is not a good look for the Bears. That would bring up questions, and only, and probably rightly so, from a lot of Bears fans who had said, if you had made changes back in January, changed the GM, changed the head coach, there would have been a better chance of these players wanting to come to Chicago.
I would even counter that. If you didn't have this press conference that left the public and the NFL world in doubt about the futures of those guys. Like, if you said, hey, we're going to give these guys 2 years to fix it. If you answered the simple question about the contract lengths.
Right.
And I'm sure, you know, there's easy ways for teams and agents to figure this out, but still publicly, like, you still question that. Like, okay, you got 2 years, Matt Nagy, but why didn't George McCaskey say that? Like, what's the big freaking deal? Like, it goes back to the worst press conference of all time, that, yep, at least that we've covered. It's, at least get your messaging straight.
Hogue, give these guys a chance.
What just happened?
John's broke his promise. John's, he knows it.
That's with just the written word.
What was that?
That he wasn't going to
bring it up.
He said he was
going to bring up the press
about,
conference.
Yeah, never going to talk about it again. But never going to write about it again.
Listen, well, unfortunately, it's a thing that happened, and he's absolutely right in that it probably is affecting the offseason.
This is what good teammates do. We hold each other accountable.
It affects perception, right? Like, it doesn't help the perception. And I think you've limited your GM and coach in their attempts to fix it. Now, if you're just giving them 1 year, then you're already shooting yourself in the foot here, because if they're going to operate that way, it could get crazy. They could do nothing. Who knows what's going to happen? But yeah, I don't think Russell Wilson is a realistic option. Yeah, he's in my top five, Adam. Of course he is.
No, he's not. Ryan Fitzpatrick is number one.
No. But if he goes to the Raiders or he goes to the Jets, then you can see where certain dominoes could play in the Bears' favor, where teams start returning their phone calls about certain quarterbacks.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. I've been through the hiring process before. It can be a pain, but LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. And at this point, 2.5 million small businesses are using LinkedIn for hiring. So post your job for free at linkedin.com/Adam. That's linkedin.com/Adam to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, let's change the topic to another thing I want to discuss, another polarizing topic on social media. It's actually been kind of fun because I find this stuff fun. But so Tuesday, it was officially announced by Churchill Downs that Arlington Park is going up for sale. And I have always, like, let's go back a little bit. I don't think there's anything I'm more critical of in Chicago than how we do stadiums. We suck at them. Okay? You have a nice, decent place like the United Center, and there's not even an L stop there. It's unbelievable. You know, I'll tend to defend guaranteed right field, but it could have been better. And they had to make a, and when it first came out, it was not good. And to their credit, they fixed it up, and they've done a lot of good things to it. It's better than it gets credit for. Not the most convenient place in the world, though. Soldier Field, convenience, just there isn't any. Great picturesque setting on the lakefront. Wrigley Field, before they fixed it up, was an absolute dump. And Cubs fans won't admit that. That place was the worst. It's awesome now. I've been to it since it got renovated multiple times. I enjoy Wrigley Field. I'm not talking crap about it. But it was so far overdue for a renovation, and it took new ownership. That new ownership had to buy all the buildings, not all of them, but a lot of the buildings next door to even get done what needed to be done. And they were like, fans had to wear hard hats to games before it got to that point. So it's just not what we do well in Chicago at all, in my opinion. And we don't have the type of place that can host Super Bowls, that can host Final Fours. And I remember sitting almost exactly a year ago from right now, watching all the coverage of the All-Star Game, the NBA All-Star Game, in Chicago, when we were having some of the worst winter weather of last winter. And it was awesome. So I am a big proponent of Chicago being able to host more events like that and coming up with some solution to do so. So when this news came out, which was not unexpected, that Arlington Park was going up for sale, I wrote a column about it. Your thoughts?
The nostalgic side of me, of course, doesn't like it. I understand it, though. Can I just defend the United Center a little bit?
Sure.
Like, I've been to other hockey rinks. I've been to other basketball stadiums, the ones that are that split between hockey and basketball. The United Center is well kept. It's updated. Like, if the Scottrade Center in St. Louis, for example, built in the same year, I believe. Could be wrong by a couple of years. But that place is a freaking dump. The United Center is not. There's been some reinvestment there, and you're right about like the transportation, but at least there's a lot of parking lots around there. The highway's close, relatively close.
But there's not much else over. I used to live over there, okay?
Yeah. Madison, well, that's, you know, the Madison's changing. Madison Avenue. There's a lot of bars and restaurants there now. You're talking about like the what we see with stadiums now where you walk outdoors and you got restaurants and stuff. Like, I think that's changing.
Well, I always compare it to like you go to the Big Ten tournament in Indy, and then you go to the Big Ten tournament in Chicago, and it's two completely different experiences. What's great about Indy is you park your car on Thursday, you don't have to move it till Sunday. Everything's right there with walking distance. Now, Chicago's not Indy, I understand that, but the one thing about
bit bigger,
the smaller arenas, if we're talking about a big football stadium, good luck finding that space. Even in the situation of, I guess, building the United Center, you know, it was a problem with DePaul trying to find a spot to put that stadium. I get it. It's tough to find the real estate. But I agree with you. The United Center is a, once you're in there, it's a pretty nice place. I have no problems with it. It's just the location, the lack of stuff around there to just walk to and from. And of course, there's so many stories. I mean, my parents have stories about going to games at Chicago Stadium, and there's like bricks being thrown and all kinds of crap. At least that's, I don't think that's much the case anymore. But anyway, yeah, it's just the location.
Well, that's a different conversation. But in terms of Soldier Field, guys, we know. We go to Lambeau every year. We go to Minnesota, Minneapolis every year. We go to Detroit every year. We're going to see the Rams' new stadium soon enough. In a couple years, we'll be in Las Vegas, Atlanta. Like, we've seen these stadiums around the league. And what the Bears have is one of the founding franchises. They're a bit behind. I like the idea of a centrally located stadium on the lake. It's just, it's picturesque. It's great. But you are on like an island there, cut off by Lakeshore Drive. And then you see these updated stadiums across the league. Some of these places are immaculate. The Bears are far behind.
So I pulled up our, by the way, the best stadium in town now is Welsh Ryan Arena. Location, it's great inside, good parking. It's amazing.
Get to your point.
we did a NFL stadium rankings over the summer, and Soldier Field actually was seventh. And I think in my ratings, when I submitted them as second to last behind FedEx Field, which I think is just terrible. And a lot of that is press box view. I can't really speak to there's nothing to do over there either. But I do think a lot of people just like the view, and I think a lot of our colleagues just like coming to Chicago as opposed to...
Yes, that's
like,
what I thought that... Because you had the whole... Just to be clear, that was like the whole NFL staff voted on that, right?
Correct. It was all the NFL beat writers. So I think city...
People love coming to Chicago.
So one thing I was looking up as we were starting this conversation, you guys probably know this, that... Gillette Stadium is closer to Providence than it is to Boston, by like 10 miles.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys know that because we've covered stuff there. Like, I remember covering Bears-Patriots in 2014, and I stayed in Boston. It was a long, long haul to get to Foxborough. I mean, we've done this before in other cities.
About inconvenient routes.
The Bears fly into Providence when they go to New England. They don't go to Boston.
I just think that... I did a story in this. We did this architecture series during the pandemic. We were getting creative, and I interviewed a bunch of architects who were putting together some of these new stadiums, and the Vegas Stadium, LA, even Tottenham, which we were at last year. I mean, you look at these things, and it's like mind blowing how far behind Soldier Field is. But they can't do any of these things where Soldier Field currently is. They're stuck. Like, they have to start over if they want Soldier Field to be like some of these modern, just incredible, majestic stadiums. And I do think, and Johns, you kind of touched on this, I think there's a lot of Bears fans that don't want that, that like Soldier Field being old and just being where it is, the way it is. Kevin Kaduk, who does a great job with the Midway Minute newsletter, touched on this over the summer about the Arlington Heights thing. And I feel like he did a poll. And I do think there were some Bears fans that just, they like it. They're totally content with the way Soldier Field is. And I think a lot of that goes to the tradition. When we did our Bears fan survey over the summer, there was, people like the tradition of Soldier Field. So I get it. But I think if you want a great stadium, if you want to be proud of your stadium, the only way for the Bears to do it is to move. I think the benefits that would come from a really cool stadium, I'm sure they would build lots of great restaurants around it. You'd have like a quote unquote Patriot place nearby, would outweigh the fact that you can't see the lake.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you mentioned, the Patriots. Like, they've built up that area around there. You could even look at Lambeau now since they've done the renovations. I mean, when we first started going to Lambeau, there was a motel across the street that, I mean, if you told me COVID-19 started there, I would believe you. Like that place was a disaster. And now there's Titletown that they've built up all around the stadium. There's like a sledding hill. Like there's things to do. And you want to pick a place in the middle of nowhere. It's Lambeau Field outside of Green Bay. You get off the highway, there's like a Cabela's and a Walmart. You know, like that's what this, but going to Lambeau is awesome. Arrowhead, Kansas City. It's just like a big, vast parking lot, and in the middle of it is Kauffman Stadium and Arrowhead right next to each other. And it's just parking lots, and it's one of the coolest tailgating atmospheres that there is. So there's something to be said about convenience, and I think that I'm not saying Arlington Heights is perfect, because it would take away, like what you said earlier, like people like coming to Chicago for games. Now, there would be a convenience factor. You can get to O'Hare really easily from there. But, like, you're probably, or if you wanted to go all the way downtown and stay there, then you're probably taking the train out to Arlington Heights. But I could tell you, as somebody who lived in Lincoln Park and grew up in Lincoln Park, if I were to take public transportation from where I grew up to Arlington Park, which is something we did, or to Soldier Field, think about the distance. I can get to Arlington Park just as fast.
Metro.
I pulled up our fan survey, by the way, for the summer. I should have pulled this up earlier. So we had 1,800 respondents. What's your favorite part of Soldier Field? The tradition was 63.6%.
What does that mean, though?
Right. I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's like, and I know it's a vague term. It's just like people, they probably like singing Bear Down. You know, like they like
that stuff's not going away.
They like looking at the columns. I don't know.
I think that's some of it. It's being able to sit in your seat and see the skyline, to be there, walking to the stadium, see the lake, see the columns. I think there's a nostalgic side to it, and I don't know what the value of that is for a lot of fans. But you feel it sometimes when you pull in, you're driving downtown.
There's a Adam Hogue rant building up in me right now, Johns. I mean, this nostalgia and like Bears history, like this franchise hasn't won crap since 1985. Like this is part of the problem. And no, it honest to God is. This is part of the problem. Like living in the past.
You need to grow up as an organization. No, it's a little bit more complicated than that because they don't own their own stadium.
Another one of the problems.
See, that's the major factor here. Like if they're Soldier Field also, here's another part of the problem. Soldier Field also has landmark status, so you cannot take down those columns. Like in my opinion, there's enough land there. Like you can reroute that drive they have down there. There's enough land there you can put a modern stadium. But two problems: the Bears don't own that land. The parks won't go for it, and you can't take down those pillars. Landmark status. So it's an amazingly complicated situation.
So when you have all that stuff and then you're still like, yeah, but Bears tradition, blah, 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 you build up a new stadium in the middle of the columns and it's not big enough and it sucks. What happens when you're hanging on a tradition.
And I looked up, one of the questions was, would you rather the Bears, A, build a brand new stadium even if it was in the suburbs, B, renovate Soldier Field again, C, make no changes, I'm just there to watch football. And it was pretty close. Like, it was like each one kind of split. 36% make no changes was the leader. I mean, that's... And people, look, I also think, too, if we go back to that realistic conversation, as long as the McCaskies are on the Bears, they're not going anywhere. Right? There's no way the McCaskies would build a brand new stadium. And I mean, is there anybody that appreciates tradition and rests their laurels on tradition more than the people who own the Chicago Bears? And Hogue, I'm with you on this, but I think you need, like, I think it would take a new owner who, like, not, I shouldn't say doesn't care about the tradition, but recognizes the benefits that come from starting over and doing a brand new stadium that gives you all the bells and whistles of the rest of the NFL. Because right now, you're going to continue to see more and more of these stadiums coming up in the next decade. And the Bears are going to fall behind even more.
look, I just, you look at these ownership groups across the NFL, and the Bears just stand out as a completely different, I mean, them and the Packers, because the Packers are just totally different in the way they do things. But like the Bears, because it's been in this family for so long, and they don't really get, like, the Bears, that's the business, right? Like, there's really no other money coming elsewhere. Like, people bring up the $6 million in rent or whatever they pay for Soldier Field. That's a pretty sweet deal. So that would be a reason to maybe not want to go do this. Except for the fact that if you built your own stadium where you can have restaurants and an entertainment district and a casino with a sports book, now all of a sudden you have other revenue streams, right? You're growing up into the 21st century of the NFL, and that I just think when you start talking about money, that could outweigh, you know, whatever sweet deal you have with the park district in rent. But to your point, Kevin, like, I don't know how much the McCaskey family cares about all that stuff.
I would always go ahead. Sorry.
No, I just don't, and that's fine if their aspirations are not that, and they just care about the Bears and football. I think that's actually something that fans in Chicago can relate to. But you better win games then, and they don't win.
You gotta be winning to. I've always been of the opinion that the Bears could be the most valuable franchise in football. Now, you could argue the Dallas Cowboys, it's just special, Texas, all that stuff. But the history, the generational love for this franchise, the fact that they're already in the top 10 in Forbes' list, they don't even own their own stadium, for everything you just outlined.
And one quick thing on that, sorry to interrupt you, but I read a story in the Tribune from like 2002 that said just the building of the stadium, which they don't even own, doubled the value of the franchise.
So there you go.
So imagine what their own giant, enormous stadium that can host Super Bowls and all that would do the value of the franchise.
So your only rival in that conversation would probably be the Dallas Cowboys in terms of value. So it's spending now to make good later, but it's a complicated situation. But I think we can all agree, because we go to these stadiums every year. A lot of Bears fans travel too. Don't forget, they travel quite well. They know what they're going into. They know what they're walking into. The ones that go to Minneapolis, the ones that go to Detroit even, the ones that are going to see Las Vegas, Atlanta, Los Angeles. Look at those places.
Well, another thing that's probably not going to happen.
I should also note, when we go cover Bears 49ers, where do we stay?
San Francisco.
Last time I just went in and out of San Jose,
which is very convenient. I did that first.
I didn't enjoy
San
it.
San Jose's not bad. Yeah.
And I remember the first time in 2014. I split that up. But like, you can still enjoy a weekend in Chicago.
Yes.
And go to a game in a suburb. Like we do when we go. As I mentioned the Patriots earlier. You know, Arrowhead Stadium is not like that close to downtown Kansas City. You know, like, this is just, you know, look at where the Cowboys play. So, you know, it's just kind
of, I just think, like, even if you're staying in downtown, think about the hassle it is to get to your seat inside Soldier Field and compare that to jumping on the train downtown. And the Arlington Heights or the Arlington Park train station is right there. Like, you walk off the train and you walk into Arlington Park. So
Metro would love it.
And even I took the train from Manhattan out to the MetLife Stadium.
A lot of the fans do.
Plus, think
and
of the,
that was great.
Think of the commute for Mark Potash.
You can walk.
He would. That man took a train from New Orleans to Chicago a couple years ago. Documented.
With Moon? Was Moon on the train?
I think Potash just did himself. He covered like the NBA All-Star game in New Orleans and took a train ride back.
I'll tell you what. If I remember that. I actually remember that. If Moon and Potsy got on a train for like 12 hours, I would actually want to sit. I would pay money to sit there and just listen to that. I wouldn't even want to talk. I just would like to listen to the stories and the conversation. I would enjoy it.
What about Larry Bayer?
You would not pay for that.
No, because then Larry would jump in with like some joke that's not funny, and
oh, the movie quotes would be old by the third one.
Yeah.
When he quotes Caddyshack for the 15th time, you're going to be jumping off that train.
I don't know if that, I assume that train goes through Memphis maybe, but like by the I'd be getting off in Memphis. And I don't know. Get me on a plane, something. All right. Roster tiers. Kevin tackled this earlier this week. Another thing you should check out on The Athletic. What do we need to know about this piece?
Why don't I bring up the guys that I struggled with, placing them in a tier, and we can debate them a little bit. John Z helped me on this as well. So I had, here are the sections. We had foundational pieces. So these are like the building blocks. The guys are the bedrock. You're going to build around them. They're going to be here for a while. Good players. Possible foundational pieces. So that was like, these were either younger guys who could become this or older guys who just, it's hard to put them in that category when you don't know how much longer they're going to be here or play at a high level. Two sections of something to prove. So you have like veterans like a Robert Quinn, Dane Trevathan, but also a young player like a Sam Mustafa, Alex Bars, like you're not sure yet, Duke Shelley. Guys who are currently on the bubble, you know, cap casualties, guys who are going to be cut. And then also, I just rounded out the roster, guys who are going to, you know, be on the bubble come August. So here are the guys that I had the toughest time with. Eddie Jackson, Cole. Well, let me start here. Here are the foundational pieces I had. Eddie Jackson, Jalen Johnson, Cole Kmet, Khalil Mack, Darnell Mooney, Bilal Nichols, Roquan Smith. Like, that is who you're building your team around. So I had trouble with Eddie Jackson being in there after what he did last season, putting Cole Kmet there right away. And then I had Dave Montgomery in the next section. So those were kind of the three that were maybe the more controversial ones. So I'll throw that out there and let you guys take your picks.
Well, I think what's interesting to me is I'm kind of taking, I kind of view like what you wrote is how it should be, right? Like, these should be the foundational guys. But I think like what you're talking about with Eddie Jackson is, does that match up with what we've actually seen on the field, right, the last couple of years? So I'm comparing this to what I did in January, which was actually kind of grade these guys and put them in, I guess, similar categories based on how they graded out. But Khalil Mack was a blue chip player, so that's obviously a foundational piece. But then I get into long-term starters, which were Roquan Smith, Akeem Hicks, Allen Robinson, David Montgomery, and Bilal Nichols. So, like, Montgomery matches up, Roquan Smith matches up, but, like, Eddie Jackson didn't play at that level. Jalen Johnson, Cole Kmet, like, those are good rookies, but they're not quite to that level. Same thing with Darnell Mooney. It's just kind of interesting to look at it that way.
The nudge I gave Kevin was Eddie Jackson should be amongst the foundational pieces.
Well, it should be, yeah.
And I get the debate there. To me, should, and yeah, his season wasn't the best. I wonder if it's a different conversation if a couple of his big plays, his scores weren't called back, but he got his money. So he has to be considered a foundational piece. Like, he has that new contract. He was signed to that second big contract. At one point, he was the highest paid safety. Is he still in terms of average salary? I'm not sure anymore, but that alone tells you that it says foundational. To me, the two players I would actually switch are probably Kmet and Montgomery, where you're left wanting to see more from Kmet, where Montgomery did enough for me behind an offensive line that was makeshift for the most part, and he excelled. Fifth in the league in rushing, fifth in the league in total yards. Like, he had a really good second season. You believe in him. Part of that foundation.
And as I wrote, and I totally agree with what John C. said, my problem is more about Montgomery's position. Like, I just don't think a running back entering his third year who's had as many carries as David Montgomery's had, if you go back to college, it's just hard to count on that guy for more than another couple seasons. As opposed to somebody like Cole Kmet, might not put up 900 yards receiving, but you can feel pretty good the guy's going to have some kind of role for the next 8 to 10 years because of the position he plays. I'm just not sure. Like, let's say Montgomery's another 1,000-yard rushing season next year. Is he going to be in line for a big extension? I mean, I think we've all seen what happens when running backs get extensions. Like, you can't – it's just not a smart way to go about to do your business. So that's why I worry about Montgomery, where if I'm looking into the future, I just don't know about what he can bring come 2022, 2023, as opposed to some of the other guys. You're like, well, they'll be fine. They'll carve out some kind of role with this team. But speaking for just next season, yeah, I mean, you gotta have him be, you know, one of your focal points of the offense.
Yeah, I agree. Position makes a big difference there. I mean, it's pretty much proven right now in the NFL that you do not want to lock up these running backs and spend all that money.
We have a tweet from Deshaun Watson.
Ooh. Is he coming to the Bears?
Loyalty is
it in
everything.
Response to our podcast? Was he happy with me and not happy with John's?
You guys can interpret. It's possible. Loyalty is everything. Don't you ever forget it. He capitalized ever. Don't you ever forget it. Loyalty is everything. Don't you ever forget it.
Yeah. I mean, John's was not very loyal to Deshaun Watson in that podcast.
Yes.
You could say that Ryan Pace wasn't too loyal to Deshaun Watson a few years ago, too.
What do you think Nick Caserio is thinking right now?
Why did I take this job?
Like, he threw his phone. Like, Caserio saw the tweet on his phone through his burner account. Totally threw his phone, right?
Why did I get brainwashed by Jack Easterby? Why did this happen? Funny guy, that Jack Easterby, though. Stand-up comedian. Good stuff. All right, well, very interesting piece with the roster tiers, Kevin, and a lot to look at and debate. Oh, Anthony Miller. Kind of forgot about him.
I didn't know where to put him, really. But
on a different team, maybe?
Yeah. If he's going to be here, he's in your something to prove or on the bubble.
Yeah.
He's got a lot to prove.
Hey, I got Kadarius Toney coming to the Bears, and Johnson and I posted our mock draft 1.0.
Dropped
Mel Kiper copied you.
He did. But you could argue I copied friend of the pod, maybe Tom Fornelli. Friend of the program. Friend of the
I
pod.
Dropped Mac Jones all the way to the second round.
Johnson, I'm gonna
had that big of an impact on you, huh?
I'm gonna defend you, Johns, maybe on Twitter at some point, because one of my biggest pet peeves of this time of year, I love mock draft season. I read every mock draft. I think they're all fun, and it's just great exercises. You cannot say so-and-so will not be get here or will not drop that far. It's just, you can't do it. Nobody knows. The teams don't know. The GMs don't know. For all we know, every single NFL team has Mac Jones with a second-round grade.
History actually says it's going to happen. Yeah, like one of those guys is going to be in the second round. Now, that could be at 36, like Derek Carr. Wasn't Drew Brees like 33 or something like that? Like, so that could be early in the second round. Or it takes someone to move up from 50 to 40 to grab him. Wasn't Garoppolo in the 60s? It's history says one of those guys is going to fall. Which one? We'll see.
All right, we got to end this with a very important topic that people keep tweeting at us. Apparently, John's missed those tweets, and then he tweeted about it yesterday.
That's the first time I saw the trailer, but go on.
Well, I think the trailer did come out, but there's been like teases. There's been news stories about it. Anyway, the Mighty Ducks are back, and this is a huge development for this podcast with our analysis and, quite frankly, a lot of criticism of Gordon Bombay, who was a fraud. You guys watched the trailer?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, so for those that don't know, there's a new Disney Plus show coming out. It's a show, it's not a movie, and it's a Mighty Ducks TV series on Disney Plus. I should know her name, the actress.
Laura Graham. I've watched a lot of Gilmore Girls the past year.
Gilmore Girls. Yeah. Yeah, that's where you probably know her from the most.
And Parenthood.
Yes, I like Parenthood. Yeah. My wife started binging that a few years ago, and I didn't watch them all, but when it was on, I would sit there and watch it for sure.
Same exact thing. My wife started binging it during her maternity leave when our son was napping. And she'd say, she goes, is this a show you want to watch with me? And mm-hmm. I said, no, go ahead. But then I just got glued, so I would just watch it along with her.
Hmm.
Also, I can't watch a lot of Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, okay. I was more of a One Tree Hill guy.
We binged that when the pandemic began, actually.
You binged all of One Tree Hill?
No, we did not finish it.
Hard to finish. It gets bad.
I said I'm done. We started actually pre-pandemic. It started in January. I couldn't take it anymore. It was just too ridiculous. Yeah. We're digressing here.
No, it was good to begin with, and then it got bad. All right, so what'd you guys think of the trailer? Because it looks like the Mighty Ducks are the bad guys.
They're the villains. As a parent, I appreciate that the calling out of the seriousness of youth sports.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think some of the innocence and the fun has been lost. And I blame the parents. I try not to be a crazy sports dad. But it's gotten pretty crazy. Especially with baseball. Kevin could...
I sent a text to Johns yesterday as he gets set for travel baseball season. And as a longtime travel baseball coach, I will tell you, parents ruin travel baseball. But not Johns. Johns is not going to be one of those parents. But
no,
generally yeah. parents. Generally that's what happens. But I like that scene too. I thought that was good to, you know, promote the idea of let's remember that this is for fun.
Yes. So I love that. I love that. Another tangent here. Like, you think about the original Mighty Ducks. Patrick Kane once told us that. That was, like, his favorite movie, and that's what got him into, like, hockey. You know, like, every kid has, like, sports movies. You know, Sandlot's a popular one here in the Johns household. That's why baseball's popular here in the Johns household. And, like, there's different movies, like Little Giants. And it's all those movies are about fun, right? Like, fun with your friends. I like how the Mighty Ducks, at least according to this trailer, seems to be poking at this bear that's been created, you know, like of the seriousness of sport, especially for kids. But they turned the Ducks into the villain.
It's controversial. I agree. Like, there's one little scene in there in this. This is just in the trailer where Laura Graham's character is like making fun of one of the parents for having like a physical therapist there with her or something like that. Like, there's two like personal coaches in the stands watching practice, which probably actually happens. So... which is sad. What'd you make of the Gordon Bombay? So I was confused, first of all, because they show him like, I hate hockey and I hate kids. I thought he got over that in the movies. Did I miss something, or is he really as bad of a guy as I've always said he is?
I was waiting for this.
Wasn't that confusing?
You may have been right.
I thought he learned his lessons. Apparently not. And I also have a sneaking suspicion that he's not actually going to be as big in the series as they made it look like. Because, like, when Fuller House came out on Netflix, the sequel to Full House, they, like, had all the old characters in the trailer. And then, like, they were in the first episode. And then you only saw DJ for the most part. And Stephanie.
Yeah, because wasn't in some of the shots during games, it's just Lauren Graham. Like on the
bench. It looks like she's the coach.
Yeah. By the way, how much money do you think Emilio Estevez made for D3?
Yeah, he was barely in D3.
Barely in it. He had that scene where he walked out after the banner comes down, and Charlie Conway goes Bombay.
Is that the private school one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Which characters? I know we're getting out of here quickly, but which characters would you like to have return
in Mighty Ducks?
Yes,
like cameo appearances,
like
in the
Goldberg's
show?
Gotta
I don't
be
think
in
we're
there.
Gonna see Goldberg.
Goldberg's gotta be in there,
although Goldberg's apparently doing well. He's a year sober.
I forgot about that. Yeah,
he's starting to look healthier.
I think Lester Averman be good.
Averman,
it's like the play-by-play guy.
Yeah, oh yeah,
great,
that'd be good.
Like,
who's the... Well, is Adam Banks one of the crazy parents?
Ooh.
Well,
his dad was kind of crazy.
Right.
It would have been perfect if Conway was the coach, right?
You know, looking back, Russ Tyler, Keenan Thompson's the most famous actor, right? I mean, facts. If you want to
knuckle
make a,
puck time,
yeah, you want to make a splash, you're gonna get Russ Tyler in there, and some
he's got his own show now.
Some fashion, true.
Keenan,
I thought Connie Moreau was an underrated player. She nice was very
pull.
Good. That, for that
that's
team.
A good pull right there. Yeah, that's a good pull.
What did they call her again?
Then you're thinking of Julie the
Cat. Oh, yeah. I'm thinking of Jules. You're talking about the figure skater.
Yeah, and her boyfriend, yeah. Guy Germain. They were really good players.
Nah, he was a cake eater. Well,
we're going to watch. I'm totally going
to
watch.
For those who might be newer to the podcast, this is a common thing we have fun with. I, to be clear, love the Mighty Ducks. Think Gordon Bombay is a fraud as a coach. Solid GM. He can assemble you a great hockey team. Terrible coach with bad ethics. And
I mean, he went fraternizing with the enemy in D2.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you really break it down, none of his plays work. And his coaching, he's not responsible for them
what
winning at all.
What do you have against the Flying V? That always worked, except that one time against Iceland. They blew it up.
I don't think it worked in
D3 physicality.
Yeah. What have you ever seen Iceland be good at hockey in the Olympics? What's going on with Iceland?
I also liked how they all made them like giant kids.
Yeah. The coach for the Ducks in the new one looked like the star player for Iceland. I don't know if it's the same actor, but it kind of looked like him.
I think we did a whole thing on this where we did some research, and one of the guys on Iceland like came back in that movie as a different character.
We did look this up. Yeah.
There was something like that.
Are people still listening?
Probably not. And then I always love the favorite thing is you go back and look at it. Like Hans becomes Jans in D2, and then he goes back to being Hans. Hans becomes Jans, who becomes Hans in D3. None of it makes sense, but I love it. So I hope you're still listening. This is what we're this is how we get through the off season, quite frankly. And I'd prefer to write about, you know, Mighty Ducks and half the
Ryan
stuff.
Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Okay, well, good episode. It's fun having Kevin on the whole time. And make sure you're checking out all that good content on The Athletic, theathletic.com/HoganJohns. My column on the Arlington Park situation is on NBCSportsChicago.com, so please check that out. You can follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns, at K Fishbane. Check out our shirts, our T-shirts, obviousshirts.com. I believe... Don't totally quote me on this. I believe that if you order those on pre-order, they are being shipped, like, maybe even today. So you should be getting those soon. And I can't wait to show those off to you in person. Obviousshirts.com, a portion of the proceeds go to helping the 22Q Family Foundation. So please check that out as well. And we appreciate all the support and you not unsubscribing after hearing Johns' list on Tuesday. And if you did unsubscribe, then you probably resubscribed. And I think that actually, in some weird metrics way, helps the podcast. So that's cool, too. We appreciate that you're here listening. So, Kevin, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Check out if you want to know what Moza Moreno and Chad Hutchinson and Mike Tomczak are up to. Check it out.
I want to know their thoughts on the Mighty Ducks.
You could go there. Okay. Let's bring in Shane Matthews. Ask him about Mighty Ducks.
That'd be a podcast. All right. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Y'all stay corona free, all right? And God bless.
That was good.
Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo. Or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work. Or, sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/Adam and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/Adam today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/Adam. GetRoman.com/Adam. Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid. But then you get older and you realize it's full of sugar and junk that you really shouldn't eat. Well, if you're trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food, you might feel like you can't eat anything. But there's now Magic Spoon. Magic Spoon has released a brand new variety pack now featuring peanut butter. They released peanut butter as a limited edition flavor in 2020, and it sold out 3 times. Peanut butter has gotten so much love that they've decided to keep it permanent and add it to the bestsellers variety pack, which also includes frosted, fruity, and cocoa. Zero sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net gram carbs in every serving. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. And if you mix cocoa with peanut butter, it tastes exactly like a peanut butter cup. So go to magicspoon.com/Adam to grab a variety pack and try it out today. And be sure to use our promo code Adam at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/Adam and use the promo code Adam to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.